Welcome to the Faithful Podcast. I'm your host, Keely Scott, with Compassion International. The Word of God is filled with the voices of mothers, daughters, sisters, and wives. Each of their stories shows us different sides of God's kindness, love, and faithfulness, and how that faithfulness is just as active and present today as it was thousands of years ago. The Faithful Project is a gathering of female poets, songwriters, authors, and storytellers, creating a space for them to dive into the stories of the ancient and mysterious women of the Word, and to learn and share about their own stories in the process. We are so glad you've joined us today as we speak of what we've seen. On this episode, we sit down with singer-songwriters Rachel Lampa and Sandra McCracken, as well as co-founder of She Reads Truth, Rachel Myers, as they discuss the story of Esther. They breathe new life into this story, helping us to understand how her surrender actually foretold that of Jesus's, and how her holy determination is something to be admired. Now, here's their conversation.
Well, hello, friends.
Hi.
Hi.
I am so honored to be in a room with you two. I heard the names listed off, and I just feel so lucky right now.
Oh,
so,
same. I think the way they said it was Sandra and the Rachels.
Sandra and the Rachels,
which is a great band.
We should start a band.
Yes, our first single will be out right after this podcast.
Yeah,
that's
happens.
Right. We're going to write
we'll start recording
it in a few minutes.
Launch party.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'm going to let everybody introduce themselves, but speaking right now, this is Rachel Lampa, and I just feel so excited to talk about such a powerful woman as Esther today with you guys. So,
yeah.
Yes. I'm Sandra McCracken, and yeah, we're here in Nashville, and it's like this intersection just feels like in a time that feels a little foggy for everybody, and then certainly can relate to that with Esther, and it's just like such a privilege to look back and to see new insights and just hopeful that we will have some of that as we gather today. So glad to be with you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm Rachel Myers, and we could spend the whole episode just talking about how like delighted we are.
Totally.
Because that's what I want to say too. Like, y'all, what a good day.
It's so great.
Just get to face to face and get to talk mm-hmm. about the book of Esther. It's amazing to me that such an ancient book has so much current truth for us. And many of us read it before. Many of you listening have read the story before. Some of you have never. Maybe you've heard the story of Esther, but never read it. Yeah. And I think that's really two different experiences, because there's the felt board, you know, Sunday school Esther. And then there's the scripture. And like, really, what does God's word, what is actually true in this story?
Yes.
And so it's, some of the episodes and some of the women that, some of these episodes we'll talk about, you'll get to read that whole story from scripture. It would take our whole episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. To read the whole story of Esther, but it might be helpful for our listeners who don't know, just to give a little summary.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I nominate you, Rachel.
Do you want to dive in?
Other Rachel.
Other Rachel.
Our Bible girl.
I like, Rachel, that you have a very soft blanket on your lap now.
It's large and...
We're all sitting in hard chairs and she's like, I'm going to need a blanket. And we're like, let's look.
I didn't think it would actually happen, but it did.
Magic.
Okay, so tell us 10 chapters.
Yeah.
And we've got...
10 chapters in 2 minutes.
Yes.
Right.
Give it.
Study
give
timers.
Us your best shot.
Yeah. So here's the deal about the book of Esther. God is the main character of the Bible. Like he is the hero of scripture, Jesus, like everything points to that. And so while we tell the story of Esther, we're also looking for how does this point to Jesus? And the book of Esther it's in the Old Testament, comes right before Job. But chronologically, it comes a lot later after Job. It's set in the Persian Empire. It's one of those stories like Daniel, where some of God's people are taken in exile out of the promised land and they're living in exile. And so that's this scenario. The Jews are an oppressed people in this scenario. And the story opens with King Ahasuerus, is how you pronounce his name.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes we call him King Xerxes. It's kind of really depends on the translation. But it's a big party and it's this big, like, long party, a festival, and he's feeling big and he's feeling amazing about himself. And he's like, you know what made me feel even more amazing? Like, let's get the queen out here. Yes. Like, you guys check her out. She's pretty incredible. And she says, no, Queen Vashti doesn't want to come out. And it hurts his pride. It makes him so mad. And he's like, well, you're fired as queen. Yeah. Like, let's look for a new queen. Mm-hmm. This is the Rachel Myers translation.
You're killing it.
I love it.
And so he sends, I think, some eunuchs out to go look for, like, the most beautiful women in his empire. And among those women is Esther. And her name is Hadassah. Her Jewish name is Hadassah. And she gets picked, scripture says, because it's like a Zoolander phrase. It's like, because she was like, had a nice form and she was incredibly good looking.
Yes, yes. The shape of her body, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Like, I think the CSB says something like, she was incredibly good looking. So they pick her and a bunch of other women, not knowing that she's a Jew. So I don't know how that plays out, but she also doesn't reveal that she's a Jew. Yeah. And so they bring her into the palace, and it's, you know, and she kind of like elevates from there because she's just really beautiful.
Yeah.
And over time, she gains the favor of the people who are there to take care of her. And ultimately, she gains the favor of King Ahasuerus and becomes queen of all of Persia. Long story short, this is yeah. not 2 minutes. Yeah. I have to speed it up.
So this.
That's like, yes,
you're great.
And so from there, I love the Book of Esther because it's such a drama. Like it yeah. is, it reads yeah. like this play, but also like kind of a comedy because there's so many like
twists. Yes, totally.
So many good.
There's such a plan to it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So like this whole thing, Rachel, where we say like God is, his name is never mentioned, yeah. but like, oh my word. It's like, he's just like holding this whole story.
Yes. Providence and grace. Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And so Esther has the favor of the king of Persia. And over time, so the king's right-hand man is Haman. And he's like, kind of like when he comes on the scene, it's like the villain music,
yeah.
you know?
Yes,
like,
yes, dun, yes dun, dun. Totally.
And he gets really irritated as he's, you know, walking around in the palace and Mordecai won't bow down to him. Now, Mordecai is Esther's uncle.
Uncle, right?
I always want to say cousin.
He raised her.
He raised her because yes. she's an orphan.
Yes.
Both her parents yeah. have passed away.
Yes.
She's raised by Mordecai. Mordecai is just not impressed by Haman, the right-hand man. Mm-hmm. Won't bow down. So again, another guy whose pride is hurt.
Yes.
And he's like, listen, king, here's what I'd like to do. I want to build gallows. And I want to build them big.
Yeah.
And I want to hang Mordecai on these gallows. I'm really insulted by
Make
this.
Make a big spectacle.
Yes.
Big spectacle of like, yeah. nobody's going to do this again. It's so similar to what Xerxes does or Ahasuerus does
yeah.
To show, you yes. know. So we need to back up just a minute because here's a very important plot point. And this is where Mordecai gains the favor of the king, and actually his name is written in the history books. Mm-hmm. And that's just a simple moment where he's hanging by the king's gate and he overhears two eunuchs making a plan to kill the king. And he goes to, and Mordecai goes to Esther and he says, you gotta save the king. And Queen Esther successfully saves the king's life, kind of alerts him to the danger. And scripture says in chapter 2, and it says, and it was recorded in the book of Chronicles in the presence of the king, specifically in the name of Mordecai.
Wow.
So that's this moment. Mm. And then like...
Did they know he was Jewish at this point? Do we think?
I think they knew that Mordecai was Jewish.
Okay.
I'm a little unclear about that. And because they don't know that Esther is Jewish.
And they don't know that they're connected?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. The plot thickens
yes.
because Haman, like I said, he doesn't like Mordecai for that reason and many others. Mordecai won't bow down, which becomes this cool reversal at the end of the story. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Because the bowing will take place. But
in a different way.
In a different way. But what Mordecai learns is that Haman has plotted not just against Mordecai, mm-hmm. but against all of the Jews.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he actually casts lots to identify which day the Jews will be killed.
And like, he wants them wiped out in one day.
Wiped out in one day. Mm-hmm. And he's rolling the dice. Like, let's pick a day, any day, whatever the dice say, we're going to kill the Jews on that day.
And does the king know this? I don't think he knows at first that there's this plot.
So Esther is in a unique position at this point because There's this threat to her people, and no one knows that they're her people.
Yeah.
You know, there are compromises along the way here. There's like all these steps of that. But there's an important moment in chapter 4. Mordecai sends the messenger to reply to Esther and said, if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come to the Jewish people some other way. But you and your father's family will be destroyed. Yeah. So he said, who knows? Perhaps you've come to your royal position for such a time as this.
Yeah.
It's the big moment.
Yeah.
It's the moment. It's when you think of the book of Esther, if you know one verse from the book of Esther, mm-hmm. it's that verse that you know, but it's one of those like, ooh, if you read that in context, like
yes.
even that Mordecai says, so making sure we're following that storyline. Haman has gone to the king and said, like, we got to get rid of all of the Jews. Like, this is a problem. The Jewish people need to go. And the king's like, cool. Yeah. Like, here's the money that you need. Like, make it happen. Like, you have my blessing. And Sandra, like you said, like, that puts Esther in a terrible position. And when Mordecai comes to her again at the gate, he says, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace, you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at a time like this, he doesn't say, then we're all going to die. He says, for if you keep silent at a time like this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
And the significance there is Mordecai serves Yahweh, and he is in the tradition of Yahweh. And so he knows his Bible. Like what he's saying there is, I know the promise that was made to Father Abraham that I'm going to make a great nation. Like I'm going to bless the world through you. And then I'm going to make a great nation out of your seed.
Yeah.
And so that is the Jewish people and the Jewish nation that there's a promise that Yahweh made.
Yeah.
And Mordecai is banking not on God saving Esther, but making good on his broader covenantal promise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when Mordecai says, maybe you've come to the palace for such a time as this, before he says that, he says, if you don't do something about this, deliverance is going to come from someplace else. Yeah. I'm not concerned about the deliverance coming because I serve the God of Abraham.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's faith.
That is, and it's beautiful because I think one of the ways I relate with that is looking at Esther, she gets included in this story. She gets invited into this story and she's not the rescuer. She's not the savior of the Jewish people. But she's invited she's invited to be used by God.
Yeah.
Like her surrendered yes to like, I will lay down my life. It's a foretaste of what Christ did.
Yeah.
And it's one of those like true and better moments where Jesus is the true and better Esther.
Yeah.
But it's this moment where, you know, Mordecai says, this is what needs to happen. Maybe you're in the palace for the time. Maybe this is all coming together. Maybe this makes sense now. Why on earth this is happening to
you?
I mean, like, if we're super honest, Esther being pulled into the palace because she's beautiful, like, it's probably not, like, a Disney scenario.
Right, yeah. It's not all of her dreams coming true, Prince Charming.
Right. And so knowing that she would give a difficult, dangerous yes to go for the king. And for those of you who aren't familiar with this story, if someone goes before the king in this tradition, and without being summoned, you die. Like those are the rules, with the exception of if he extends his signet ring to you. And in this story, I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Right. Esther goes big.
Yeah.
And it's another one of these cool, like, this is why I love the book of Esther, because it's such a well-written story by the author of the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Vashti was the queen who said no. I'm not coming. And Esther was the queen who said...
You didn't even ask.
I'm going to go.
Breaks the law to go in.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that I just like, there's so many of those beautiful moments because also you just think about like, Esther was in the palace because she was beautiful, right? Yeah. Favor of the king.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we wrote the song that goes with this podcast and the book and all of that, like we wrote about what it means to have the favor of the capital K King and that really none of it doesn't matter. We don't need man's favor because we already have God's favor. And it's not like, don't work so hard for man's favor. Instead, work for God's favor.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's you already have his favor. Not because you're beautiful, but because he's beautiful.
Yeah.
I would like to say thank you so much to my sponsor, Jeff and Bonnie Mori.
We are Jeff and Bonnie Mori, and we had the opportunity to sponsor Nora over 20 some years ago. It's not just us. It's a whole team. It's a whole army of people that God mobilizes in order to affect change in the life of a child.
I hope I see you one day. I love you so much, wherever you are.
How about today?
To see the rest of Nora's amazing story, visit Faithful's YouTube page and our socials at Faithful Project. The links are in the show notes.
It's you already have his favor, not because you're beautiful, but because he's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's like when we read this story, Ellie and Ruth and I, when we read the story together and wrote that song, that's what really struck us, wow, is that it had nothing to do with Esther's beauty. It had nothing to do with Ahasuerus's favor.
Position, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then like for Mordecai to go like, but I serve the God of Abraham.
Yeah.
And like us in this room, like Rachel and Sandra, like we serve the God of Abraham.
Right.
And you listening. So when we face whatever it is, we can't make up promises, but we do have promises. Yeah. And so we have this promise, like we can look to scripture and we can look to what God has promised and fulfilled, and we can count on those things. Mm-hmm. And I love Mordecai's faithful example in that. And of course, what we look to, even bigger picture, is God's faithfulness, the example of his faithfulness.
He's honored.
I know,
by the
finish
king.
The story, Sandra.
Right, right.
No, I'm just dropping those in as we're talking through it, because it's like, so they both take tremendous risk.
They do.
After that moment, we just talked about kind of that, the moment where the spotlight's on her, like, are you going to do this? Yes. this is your opportunity.
Yeah.
And she says, yeah, I'll do it even if I die. If I perish, I perish. Right. And then she sends him back and says, pray and fast for this, which is like profound. I mean, that they have faith that this is the way by which God works and this is the covenant.
Yes.
And yet we're not going to eat for 3 days because we're going to like basically surrender. It's not a sentimental kind of surrender. It is like deeply embodied.
Oof, that's good.
And so they lay out, you know, and he says, yes, I'll do that. And then he's honored by the king. There's another banquet, right? the signet ring.
And by the animals.
And there's this moment where, like, this is actually worth reading because it's comedy. Like, it's so silly and funny. So here's the really good comedy. There's this night where the king can't sleep. And he's like, I don't know, like they didn't count sheep in those days, but he literally, he was like, can you bring me the book, the history books from my kingdom? And I'm just going to read those. And like, certainly that will help me fall asleep. And so he's reading the books and he reads the record that was written down about Mordecai saving his life.
Yes.
And he, I think, calls Haman.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, if I wanted to do something really nice for a person who really has done a lot for me.
And Haman's like, oh,
and Haman
me,
thinks
huh?
it's
right.
Yes.
It's
for him.
Straight like bit comedy.
Oh, it is. It is.
And he was just going like, what should I do? Like, what can I do? And Haman says to himself, and this is in chapter 6, he says, whom would the king delight to honor more than me?
Yeah.
For the man whom the king delights to honor, let royal robes be brought, which the king has worn, and the horse that the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown is set. And let the robes of the horse be handed over to the one of the king's most noble officials. Let them dress the man whom the king delights to honor, and let him be led through the city on the horse, through the square of the city. It's this like hilarious, like, this is what I would really like you to do for me,
for
king.
Me.
And the king's like, cool, go find Mordecai at the city gate. And would you go ahead and do that
do
for
all
him?
That
and since
for
you're
him.
One of my noble officials, will you be the one to put the crown on his head and lead him through the
lead
city?
Lead him around.
And it's this moment of like ultimate.
It is perfect.
It's justice and it's
such
comedy.
A
and it's just like, yes, God's name is not mentioned in this book, but like God's sense of humor even and justice. It's,
I mean, there's so much humor. And then again, in like chapter 7, which gets really dark, but at first the whole thing comes out of chapter 7, verse 2, like on the second day while drinking wine, the king asked Esther, Queen Esther, whatever you would like would be given to you. I mean, these moments that are like a movie.
Yeah, it really does. And I just like, I love her whole plan. Like this,
she stays
I mean,
really
kind
steady.
Of a womanly plan, you know, like of just like, okay, let's have another meal. Let me think this out. Let me think, like, let me hold this for a second. Think about how to present this, this idea, you know, like, I'm going to have dinner with both of you one night, and then I'm going to bring you back for another night, and I've prepared this thing for you. And like, she's setting it up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, there's something, I was so drawn to that part of the story because I was just like, how beautiful that, like, you know, a woman chosen for her beauty and all that stuff would not eat. I mean, she's using her brains hardcore for this, you know, and she's being, it's like she's doing what only she could do in that moment, what only God could do through her at this moment. And in the best way, like she was the only one that would know the best way to present to the king this crazy idea of saving an entire group of people that he didn't like the Jews. I mean,
right.
That was they were a threat to him. So normally he'd just go along with it, but he, you know, yeah.
And so in that final banquet, he's like Sandra, you said, like the king's like, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
And she's like, actually, here's what's going on. Yeah. Maybe you're aware, maybe you're not, but the Jews are in real danger. And that's my people. Like that's us.
Yeah.
And like the very next section in that same chapter, the heading is Haman is hanged.
Yeah. Yes.
and on the gallows that he built to hang Mordecai, instead he paraded Mordecai around the city, and then Haman was punished instead.
Wow.
And like not only
she
that,
she exposes Haman's, him.
What's that?
She exposes him as the villain.
Exactly.
Yeah. But has to come in the side door to do that.
She really has to.
Right.
And there's nothing, like, I think hearing you say, you know, she has like a womanly plan. I mean, I think sometimes a womanly plan can be characterized as like just, you know, kind of nurturing and soft and whatever. But there's nothing soft about the moment when basically Haman's begging her for his life.
Yeah.
And she is advocating for the entire nation of people.
Yes.
You know, and for us even here.
Yeah.
So this whole thing was preserved because she had a womanly plan, and because a womanly plan is not the cartoon version that you think it is.
Yeah. It is well thought out, and it's
set like flint. You know what? When Jesus was going to the cross and his face is set like flint.
Yeah.
There's this sense of determination that's like a holy determination, which is not stubbornness.
Yeah.
And it's not,
it's focused.
It's not full of ego. It is full of just clarity and like,
maybe confidence.
That's like a determination.
Yeah. Sandra, you said something before we hit record about the Book of Esther, and I thought it was so hilarious. What was it that you said?
Well, my friend Mike Cosper wrote this book about her story that's called Faith of Our Fathers, and he makes the comment that it's less VeggieTales and more Game of Thrones, which it is 100%.
That's what it was.
And like you were saying, Rachel, it's so incredibly relevant in the moment we're in now because I think we are required to be on our toes around dark and light and shadow and to speak truth in moments where it seems a little fuzzy. It's like, oh, he probably isn't that bad. And then other moments that we need to give grace, that we offer judgment. Like she walks out this line of like biblical justice. Mm-hmm. She's just like put in the spot to do this, but she demonstrates it so beautifully.
Right. And I felt like even along those lines, like, or especially along those lines, she never judged the king for the way that she came in to the whole thing, how like objectifying, like they put her through beauty treatments. They put a bunch of girls through beauty treatments to get there, to get to the place where they could even be considered by the king. But when she accepted her, you know, position, it was like, there wasn't this judgment and this like hatred.
You're right.
You know, it was like assuming her
he has a role
position. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then just executing it with power and with purpose.
It does strike me too, even though there's so much protection around the king, that he's such a passive character.
He really is.
I know.
He's like, he's sort of a pawn and everyone's like, just like, I mean, which
there's
that
like
sounds a little bit familiar.
No, come to my party. No. Okay. Yeah, now totally. I'm getting mad. And then the like,
doesn't
but
seem
Esther
all
comes
that
to him, and Haman comes to him. Like you're right. That's I've never noticed that.
Really, I know he's an interesting guy.
It's funny because growing up, I heard the Book of Esther and thought like, oh, what fun, like beauty treatments. Like I always thought it was like spa day. And I think that, like, as you, like, actually read the text and maybe understand the context of it, yeah, you're just like, oh, yeah, maybe not so great. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it probably wasn't as great as you expected. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, the end of the story is that Haman's house is given to Esther. Right. And the Feast of Purim is initiated, which is one of the most joyous festivals on the Jewish calendar to this day. And they actually, we did, at She Reads Truth, we did a book about this. And so we've studied, like, all of the, like, festivals that come with it.
Yeah.
And with Purim, they make these Haman hats. These little, like, he's sort of like everyone's villain. Like, nobody likes him. Everyone, like, they make the cookies just to, like, bite on his head. Like, they're just like, ha ha ha.
Oh my gosh. Haman.
And then Purim, I think this is right, is called that because, that's the casting of the lots. Mm-hmm. Remember when Haman cast the lot? Like, let's see what day the Jews are all killed.
Right.
And so I think that word is Purim. And so that's why the feast is called Purim.
Oh, wow.
Because instead, that was the day that the Jews were saved.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Gosh. Yeah.
Like, we, like, really cast the lot to see what we can do. And God is even in the lot casting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. There's a lot to this story.
Another thing that when we were kind of prepping for this song, like for the songwriting and that kind of thing, we came across a book that Michael Card wrote called Inexpressible. And it's about the Hebrew word hesed. And so hesed is the word, like, it's the Hebrew word that's used in the book of Esther for favor. Oh. So, like, I think the word favors maybe in the book of Esther, maybe 7 times. And only a couple of those times is it hesed. So sometimes favor translates out to something else, to a secular favor. Whereas hesed, it's the Hebrew word, and it's the favor of God. And the reason that Michael Card's book is called Inexpressible is because, like, we have yet to come up with an English translation for that word.
Wow.
Because it really is this, like, wholeness of the steadfast, loyal love of God.
Yeah.
And so his book about hesed, I highly recommend. But even just, like, taking time to study that word, there's no secular version of that word, because it really can only be used in the context of talking about God, in his, like, character and who he is. So this talk about, like, Hebrew has said, like, the steadfast loving kindness of God is so much steadier in this story, in this book of Esther, where people are all over the place, where the plot line is all over the place. God's hesed is steady, and it wasn't even like this covenant that he made to Abraham back in Genesis. It wasn't even shaking. It was steadfast.
Wow.
And it was bound by love.
Yeah.
And so his hesed runs straight through the book of Esther.
That's amazing.
And the favor of the Lord has nothing to do with us except that we are his.
Yeah. Mm. And what better place to operate from than that in something like this, where you have to be brave. Yeah. Like, I think about, like, like bringing up a kid, like teaching them to be brave, teaching them to have curiosity and have questions and have desires and have dreams and goals, but also with the knowledge that they have parents that are, you know, there, you know, and then ultimately that God is that way. And that God is their steadfast.
That God is the perfect version.
The perfect parent. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, in this tiny example in life of, like, parenting a kid, like, I can almost see, like, the way that Esther approached the king.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's kind of like a kid coming to their parent being like, can I have this?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And gosh, that, like, the childlike confidence, you know, is like, it's almost like, it almost reminds me of Esther in that moment where she's just like, she's believing that this can and will happen because of God, because of this.
Yeah.
Is it hesed? Is that
hesed? Yeah.
You know, and that is what fueled that confidence and that childlikeness of just being able to say, like, all right, I know this. You know, I'm here, and I might not have all the big words and all the big presentation.
Yeah,
but I'm believing.
That's beautiful. Yeah. You're exactly right. That the imperfect picture of this perfect part of who God is, yeah. is that parent-child relationship where you look at your child and you're like, you already have my favor.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I love you because you're mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not because you've mm-hmm. done this or this or this. And every parent-child relationship is imperfect. And so, but it's this little foretaste. It's this little picture. Like we talked about Esther being yeah. sort of the foretaste of Christ and yeah. that he gave his surrendered yes yeah. For us to deliver a whole people, a yeah. whole yeah. a whole people for God.
That's so cool.
I would say that as we close, I think that that's what I really want our listeners to take away from this is maybe just that pause in understanding that there is nothing we can do yeah. To earn the favor of God. My pastor once said, and it made me squirm until he got to the end of the sentence, that he said, there's really only one thing that you can contribute to your salvation. And I was like, wait, there's something that you can contribute. And it was, it's the sin that makes it necessary. That's what we have contributed. It made you squirm too, didn't it, Sandra?
That's hilarious. Yeah.
But we have the chesed, the favor, the steadfast, unchanging love of God, because not who we are, not what we have done, not what we look like, but because of who he is. And if we as women in this room and women listening just today moved forward in our day in the confidence of a child who has the steadfast, unchanging, yeah. unwavering love of the Father, like, how would that change our day today?
Yeah.
Right? And so I just challenge you guys to do that. I challenge you to just like put on God's chesed and just know that there's nothing that you can do to make him love you less, nothing you can do to make him love you more. You have all of him and he loves you.
So good.
So good.
Thank you guys.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. To learn more about our music, books, merchandise, or when a Faithful event will be coming near you, please visit us at faithfulproject.com or follow us on social media at Faithful Project. The Faithful Project is brought to you by Compassion International, Integrity Music, and David C. Cook Publishing. To find out how you can play a vital role in releasing children from poverty, please visit compassion.com/faithful. Until next time, now go and speak.